Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Well, the holidays are over, you know, the season of giving. Charities say that's when we're at our most generous, thinking of others, digging deep. The need goes on year-round, however, for groups like Second Harvest, the East Central Indiana Food Bank. They just held their annual meeting on Thursday. Second Harvest distributed 12.5 million pounds of food last year. It's a staggering number. Another way to put it, that amounts to more than 7.5 million meals. The food is distributed from food pantries at churches and community centers across the region, and it comes through the Second Harvest headquarters and warehouse on the north side of Muncie. That's where we met CEO Tim Keene recently.
Well, this is obviously the inside of our warehouse, looking at the racks of food we have in storage. You can see that sitting here on the dock, there looks like about a half a semi-load of fresh produce that came in today. There's some tomatoes, potatoes, and I think maybe some apples. And those are going to be turned around and redistributed out probably before the end of this week.
We are standing on a poured concrete floor, and I guess it's good for a food facility. This place looks immaculate. Looks very clean.
Well, thank you. We spend a lot of time and effort to make sure that it stays that way. It's very important to us, and we quite honestly get a lot of comments like that when people come in and see the facility for the first time.
Next to us here are a couple pallets of large bags about the size of if you were getting some mulch for your yard. And it says quick cooking rolled oats.
Yeah, that's a master bag you're looking at, and inside that master bag, there's probably 12 smaller bags of rolled oats, and that's a product that has come in that will be distributed out in a program we have for senior citizens in three different counties called the CSFP program. CSFP is a program designed for people that are 55 and over. It provides them with a 40-pound box of food one time a month. So that'll be part of a box that's assembled here in the next couple of weeks and distributed out in January.
Well, what's the genesis of something like this? I think it's probably six pallets of these.
Yeah, there's probably 10 pallets if you count all the rolled oats. This particular program is a program that is funded by and supplied by the federal government. So this is one of the programs that a person in need could qualify for through income qualification, but they have to be 55 years or older to qualify. So we receive this product from the federal government and redistribute it out into those counties.
So in a real rough sense, what we're looking at here is about 1 month's supply.
Exactly.
I mean, if this is a million pounds of food and you distribute 12 million, this is about, so in real rough terms, you handle about this much food every month.
Exactly right. It goes out by the semi-load every week.
What would surprise people? Are there any products here that might surprise people in terms of the goods that you have?
Yes, I think so, because when you think of a food bank, you think of food, but we also handle products that are not food. We handle paper goods, cleaning supplies, pesticides, personal care items. Just about anything that you could find in a grocery store is a potential item you might find in our warehouse.
As you mentioned, there are food drives, and people are sort of familiar with the idea of a special night at an event where they say, well, bring a can of food or something like that. But what I'm looking at here looks like the inside of a Costco or something like that. These products didn't come from somebody dropping them off. These are some from the government, some from the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The majority of the food we handle are packed in boxes that are retail-ready products that have come from food manufacturers all over the country. We have some local donors we get food from as well. And so what you see is very much like any food warehouse you'd walk into in the country.
And so these bays over here, those are semis or trucks that are going to, can we walk over that way a second? Yeah. What's going on a day like this? Is this a...
This is very typical what you see happening in front of you today. We've got a couple of dock doors open where we've got semi-trailers backed into them. Those were full about 2 hours ago, and now they're empty. And we'll be reloading those in probably this afternoon as we get the orders ready to go out. You see products over here stored in racks that are wrapped and ready to go out. Those are going out to agencies either today or tomorrow. And you see products over here that just came in off a truck earlier today that will have volunteers repackaging a little bit later today and probably tomorrow.
What's this gentleman doing here with these goods?
This product just arrived, and so he's, after we receive it into our inventory, he's putting it away in the racks. That'll be available for agencies to order.
You know, this reminds me, I worked in a factory when I was a kid, a seafood processing plant, and we would load these semis with 40,000 pounds of frozen seafood. This is a labor-intensive area, isn't it?
I mean, it is.
Even with forklifts. I mean, there's a lot of... So you do have a need for... you only have 10 people on the payroll, 10 or so people, you
10
said.
10 full-time, 7 part-time.
Yeah, just the physical moving of all this product in and out.
That's right.
Sounds like good opportunities for... scouts and people like that?
Well, we have all sorts of groups throughout the year. We have service clubs. We have church organizations. We have sororities, fraternities, any group of folks that really doesn't have to be a large group or could be an individual. You could just be an individual that wants to come out and donate a few hours of your time. You're always welcome. We always have work to do. It's a great opportunity to see something that most people have never really seen.
And you're really making a difference.
Well, that food that's right behind you, that is product that is going to be going out either today or tomorrow. So it'll be literally in the hands of hungry people in the same day, either today or tomorrow. So it's very much an immediate response to opportunities that are created in this food manufacturing and distribution world that we have.
Do some people, because I think I'm one of these people, do some people have the idea of a food pantry as, hey, there's a room at my church? That's kind of the image they have.
That's exactly right. When you ask people, have you ever heard of Second Harvest Food Bank? They say, oh, sure, yeah. I've heard of them. And they say, you say, well, what do they do? And they say, well, don't they have hungry people show up at their door and they pass out food? And what they're describing is a food pantry in a church or something like that. And it's exactly like you said. We are the people who supply all those churches with some or all of the food. So this is very much a distribution center. We don't have hungry people who show up here that receive food. We're constantly bringing food in and out of here by the semi-load.
Tim Keene, CEO of Second Harvest, the regional food bank that last year distributed more than 12 million pounds of supplies to food pantries across an 8-county area of East Central Indiana. It's quite a warehousing and distribution system, and the need continues.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think and write indianaweekend@gmail.com. Here's John Strauss.
The Second Harvest Regional Food Bank shipped more than 12 million pounds of supermarket goods last year, everything from oats, canned goods, and fresh produce to cleaning supplies, all headed to area food pantries. Second Harvest receives donations by the truckload from companies with excess product of one kind or another. As CEO Tim Keene explained to us during a tour the other day, its warehouse on the north side of Muncie can get crowded with semi-trucks pulling in and out.
Rains and then it pours. So we've always got some coming in, but we may have some days where we've got three up here at these docks and we've got two sitting out on the pavement ready to pull in as soon as the spot opens up. So it's pretty much constant traffic.
Have you ever had a real surprising donation that just came out of left field?
Well, one of the more challenging products we've had donated to us is a whole semi-load of bananas. Now, you know from buying bananas in a grocery store, they don't last very long. So when you get a truckload of bananas, you've got to have a place for those things to go right now. Now, we were able to move those out in 3 days' time. We're able to get them used. And so it's not too often that you get something that if you don't move it in the next 2 days, it's going to be bad. But when you get a product like that and you have 100 outlets that you can take that product to, we're able to do things that most organizations who deal with food just simply aren't able to.
Are there any challenges or opportunities that relate to being in Indiana?
We're located in kind of the central part of the country, so we have a lot of food distribution that runs up and down the interstates right around us. So you play the cards you're dealt, and we're able to do what we do as best we can, and I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Do you ever get the opportunity to trade with other food banks? You get a couple of semis in of some sort of product that you can't use all of it. Somebody else has something. You ever swap like that?
Actually, that happens a lot. And in the last couple of years, it's picked up some steam because, as I said earlier, we're probably the number three food bank in the state. So we have some smaller food banks that we are able to call and say, you know, we just got two truckloads of this. Can you use half a truckload? So they're able to take a half a truckload off our hands, but they themselves wouldn't have been able to handle that donation. So it's important to us that we can respond to full or multiple truckloads of something, and then we're able to redistribute that out to other food banks in the state. So it does get used up, and they have access to it, even though they're a smaller operation.
Does it help to have the Nestle plant right down there off of I-69? Do we ever get a semi-load of...
Nestle's been a vital partner of ours ever since they built the building. And so they're able to supply us on a weekly basis. We never know what it is we're going to get, but we're very blessed when it comes, and it's usually a large quantity. So very happy to work with them ongoing.
I'm guessing you must spend a good deal of your time on the phone just talking with people about people who have goods that they'd like to offer, or you're looking for one thing or another.
Well, we do have more than one person who helps us with that, thank goodness, but the phone rings a lot. The phone rings a lot, and that's a good thing. That's exactly what we want. We want to be the first thought that pops into people's heads when they have food that they need to move.
And sometimes you can do well by doing good. I mean, there are companies, when they give you food or goods or something like that, there's a benefit, a tax benefit perhaps to them? Or?
There is. There's certainly a benefit for them. Many companies go beyond that benefit on an annual basis. They've saturated the point that they can use that tax benefit, but they still do the right thing and get that food out to people who can use it.
Does the fact that we are where we are in the center of the country, we're kind of a big warehousing and logistics state, does that make a difference?
I think we have a lot of opportunities with the interstates that run through Indiana because we're a connector to many, many major cities. So there are loads of food that are traveling, you know, from Chicago to the south and from the east to the west in all directions. So sometimes a trucker may be bringing a truckload of something from Texas to somewhere around this area. It may be rejected, or they may only have unloaded part of their load, and we have the opportunity to help out with that opportunity to get it off the truck and get it used. So I think it's a fortunate circumstance we are to be where we are.
You stand in here, and this is a business-like setting that that might even seem familiar to you from your own background in the grocery business. And then at the end of this long distribution line somewhere, there is a family picking up something to eat, maybe for little kids who otherwise might go hungry. And you've actually seen those families yourself. Is that ever in your head as you're doing this? That because you've seen, working through your own church, you've seen the people that you all help.
I think it's a moving experience. There's no other way for me to describe it other than to say, when you volunteer to do something like that, to actually distribute the food into the hands of people in need, it's going to make an impression on you, and it's one that's going to stick with you. So every day I know there are people that are going to benefit from it, and I just feel blessed to be able to do this kind of work.
Stay mommy. Stay mommy. Tim Keene, CEO of Second Harvest, the Muncie food bank that distributes the equivalent of more than 7.5 million meals each year to East Central Indiana food pantries at churches, neighborhood centers, and other locations.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss right here on Indiana Public Radio.
We've been visiting today with the folks at Second Harvest Food Bank at their warehouse on the north side of Muncie. You can imagine a big transportation center, semis pulling in and out, transporting 1 million pounds of produce, canned goods, and other products each month to food pantries across the 8-county region. So maybe you're wondering, like we were, as we visit with CEO Tim Keene, where does all this stuff come from?
Well, it's food that's already been produced, and it makes itself available to us in a variety of ways. There may be food opportunities that we are notified from different manufacturers because they may have something that is close dated. They may have something that has been discontinued, they're no longer going to make. They may have a label change. They may have something that was developed in a test market that maybe didn't pass the test market. So there's that side of things. And there's also a fair amount of product that in the food world has to meet a certain specification in terms of color, shape, ripeness, especially in perishable foods and in mostly produce. And so when those specifications determine a load that maybe is unsuitable for the market, then we get notified many times of truckloads, semi-truckloads of fresh produce that are perfectly good, other than they just don't meet the specifications of the distribution center, maybe because of the shape of the product or the color. And so they make those opportunities available to us. We bring those in and we distribute those out into the 8 counties that we serve in East Central Indiana and get those into the hands of hungry people.
Is there a way, because you come from the grocery industry, I think, is there a way to compare that with, you know, the operations of a good-sized grocery store or something?
Well, think of it this way. Of that 12 million pounds, about 6 million pounds of it is going to be fresh produce that we're going to distribute, that we did distribute. And that 6 million pounds is roughly going to be 175 semi-truckloads. So if you double that, that's about the number that we would distribute on an annual basis of all foods.
Around 320 semi-loads of food.
That's right.
Or more than a semi every business day.
That's right.
I'm guessing when you run an operation like this, you actually don't get to be there when somebody with a couple of hungry children comes in and benefits from the work that you do. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever go out to those food banks to kind of see what's going on, what people think of the products that you're providing?
Absolutely. I think it's a great way to stay in touch. I think it's absolutely necessary. I do make a point to visit several of the sites that we have, whether it's through a mobile food pantry program we have called the Tailgate Distribution. I'm also a member of a volunteer group that operates the church food pantry. And so by going and volunteering my time at that church food pantry, I see firsthand people and food and how that comes together, hear their stories, and listen to different comments that are made about their appreciation of the food that's provided. It's a meaningful experience, and if anybody ever has the opportunity, I encourage people to find time to volunteer in their community just for that experience.
Do you remember any of those people?
4 years ago, we were involved in a survey that was a national hunger study. And by the way, that's coming up again this spring. It's a once every 4 year program. And I was outside at one of our mobile food pantries registering one of the clients and talking to them about their circumstances. And I walked up to the car this lady was in. She had 3 children in the car. The oldest child looked to be about 8. And another one 6, and another one I would guess maybe 5 or 4. And I was asking the lady about her circumstances, and she said, I have another child that is not with me today, so I have 4 children. My husband is out of work and has been out of work for 6 months. We have recently, 3 months ago, had to move in with his mom and dad, and found ourselves after 3 months with them. The whole family, including mom and dad, had to relocate and move in with grandma, who is providing all the income on her Social Security check of $900 a month. It's amazing to me that there are thousands of people out there in those circumstances every day.
You actually work with your local church's food pantry. Has that been an eye-opener to be at the head of this 8-county organization and then get right down at ground level or church level and see what's going on?
Well, it was. I was actually involved in the church before I was in this position. So it gave me a little bit of up close and personal view of this picture before I was in this leadership role.
Do you detect sometimes, I don't know what else to call it, but maybe sort of a hard-heartedness on the part of some people who there's a tendency to say, look, you're in this position by your own fault. Is there some of that going on?
You know, I rarely go anywhere to speak that I don't get asked that type of question. I would say that most of that information, that stereotype, has to do with lack of information. I think once people have more facts in front of them and that can understand the circumstances of why so many people are in this situation, then they begin to internalize that and can understand that a little bit easier.
Tim Keene, CEO of the Second Harvest Regional Food Bank in Muncie. And if you maybe picked up the idea that they're glad to hear from volunteers, you are right. You can go to curehunger.org for details. Plenty of opportunities to make an impact with an Indiana group that is really making a difference. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Reminder that we also need your stories, ideas for places we should go, and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
I think a surprising piece of information is that the largest segment of this group are the people who make too much money to qualify for federal programs or any sort of other food relief, and so they find themselves in a catch-22. They can't apply for food stamps. They can't seek other benefits that less income people can, but yet they're still food insecure.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.